Thank you very much. Well, certainly the emergency department in Perth at the Perth and Smiths Falls District Hospital has been in the news as of late. And that may be an understatement. Here to talk to us a little bit about the situation, Dr. Alan Drummond, who is, of course, a physician with a private practice in town and also at the Perth and Smiths Falls District Hospital Emergency Department. He is also co-chair of the Canadian Association of Emergency Physicians. Dr. Drummond, welcome back to Lake 88.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the staffing situation. I read a quote from you that said not too long ago, 15 nurses, now you're down to five.
Well, actually, yeah, that's true. We went from 15 to five. And there was, even at that level of staffing, there was concern for the ability to assure the public that if they came with a, you know, in a critical illness and needed resuscitation, would that be an adequate number of nurses to safely provide care? So that prompted the administration and then subsequently the board to consider closing the emergency department to facilitate, you know, as safe a staffing as possible. That decision was reversed. This past Thursday or Friday, I believe, two of the remaining five nurses tested positive for COVID, meaning that it had to be quarantined and wouldn't be allowed to participate in nursing duties in the emergency department. So that brought us down from, you know, a ridiculous level of five to three, which was totally unsafe, totally untenable, not manageable. And so they decided to close the emergency department completely and fully from Saturday morning on until, I believe, next Thursday. And then my understanding is that even when we do return next Thursday, it'll be daylight hours staffing only until such time as they can replenish the number of nurses we have available to staff or emerge.
So have you been told that officially, that because that was the proposed plan last week that we heard about, that it was going to be the nights were going to be off basically for the summer for several weeks. So is that what we're looking at then when the ER does open, that plan that was kicked out is going to be back on the table and implemented?
Well, that's my understanding from correspondence from our physician leaders. And I mean, I understand the situation entirely. This is a national problem. I mean, it's come home to roost here in Perth, but it's a national problem. You know, from Vancouver Island all the way to St. John's, Newfoundland, emergency departments are suffering from nursing staffing shortages, principally, but not exclusively. There are some hospitals that are facing physician shortages as well. And this has been a problem that's been a long time in the making, actually. And COVID is just basically the straw that broke the proverbial camel's back. So, you know, for our hospital, you know, it's easy to say we'll get more nurses, but, you know, from a very shallow pool. I mean, they're in high demand now, as every hospital is struggling to recruit and retain nurses. And so it's not that easy. And, you know, I've been on record in the past that, you know, you just can't replace an emergency nurse with any nurse from any other department in the hospital, because they have a special skill set and a special aptitude and a special competencies, and they fit into a team, that's particularly required when there is a resuscitation, be it a cardiac arrest or a really sick child or a major trauma. So you just can't plop any nurse in that department and expect them to function, you know, effectively and well. So, you know, it's happening everywhere. It's certainly happening across Ontario, and now it's happening to us. And you know, I'm almost in a state of disbelief that a hospital so good as our hospital and so vitally important to the broader community, you know, is facing this disastrous situation.
And when people talk about the worries that this emergency department and ultimately the hospital could shut down due to staffing and, you know, due to programs being moved and that type of thing, do you see that as a real possibility?
Well, you know, I've been here a long time, and I remember when the hospitals first amalgamated, there was a lot of concern actually about, you know, what this would actually mean to both partners of the marriage. You know, I don't know if there's a master plan, but I understand, I do know, as somebody who's pretty well connected with the public here, that there's this, you know, ongoing concern that of the two partners in the marriage, you know, one hospital is winning and one hospital is losing. I don't know that that's fair, but I understand why that has existed. You know, when we first amalgamated, we had a brand new obstetrical ward with, you know, jacuzzi tubs for the laboring women, you know, and the day after amalgamation, it was transferred to Smiths Falls. And then dialysis, a new program was developed and went to Smiths Falls. And then we got a CT scanner and it went to Smiths Falls. And then they converted the labs to 24/7 coverage only in Smiths Falls. So some lab tests had to be transported by cab or to the Smiths Falls site. And then they closed surgeries in Perth at 4 o'clock and every after hour surgery went to Smiths Falls. They announced a new MRI scanner. It's going to Smiths Falls. So you have to, you know, there's no new programs that come to Perth that are quite meaningful. And so I don't share that view, but I understand why a lot of people do believe that this is yet another indication that, you know, the fix is in. I hope to dispel that. I think the very best thing that the hospital administration and the board could do, particularly at this juncture, because there's so much community concern about what this means going forward, they should probably host a town hall and explain the situation fully and transparently to the public. Take their questions, answer their questions. Let's move on, because I know that current of suspicion is entrenched in our community, and we need to address it before we get any deeper. People are going to stop donating to a hospital if they think that this is kind of a dead end street.
Back to the nursing situation now, and taking a look at more of a provincial level, you called it a shallow pool, and by all accounts, that's 100% accurate. Whose responsibility is it then to get that pool to be a little bit deeper? Is it provincial incentives that need to happen here? You know, I'm not asking you to be a recruiter, but you've been doing this for quite a while. What do you think could help reverse this trend when it comes to getting more people interested in nursing?
Well, I think the key word is respect. You know, what's happened lately is just a reflection, actually, a terminal reflection of decades of neglect of the nursing sector, particularly in the emergency department. You know, we've known about crowded hospitals leading to crowded emergency departments and what we call moral injury, which is a recognition by healthcare providers that we're not doing the job that we really should be doing, that our quality of care has been degraded, and we're part of this big immoral masquerade that everything's okay when we know darn well that it isn't. So that wears on people a lot. There's an increasing prevalence of violence and abuse in the emergency department, even in our own emergency department. You know, people are yelling at us, swearing at us. You know, sometimes it gets physical. And that is starting to wear people down as well. You know, the rural hospital seems to have been placed lesser significance by the political powers that be. I mean, these closures have been going on across this province now for about a year. And what we hear from our political leaders is, frankly, crickets, not a noise. It's just like, well, the hospitals have to cope as best they can. Well, you're ultimately responsible for the provision of healthcare. You know, where are you? You know, our local MPP has been appointed in a deputy position for long-term care. He campaigned on the promise of improving rural healthcare. And within 2 weeks of being sworn in, they're closing one of the busiest emergency departments in this region. So there's a lot of things that are going on. It's not money. It's really all about addressing the well-being of all healthcare providers, whether it be paramedics, nurses, and physicians, and recognizing that there are some unique stresses in the emergency department that need to be addressed. You know, we lose a nurse, and to my knowledge, nobody ever asked the nurse, why did you leave? Like, when is there an exit strategy here? What was an exit interview? What happened? What can we do better? And, you know, our nurses, I know for a fact, because I work with them daily, actually, it's not been the last few months. It's been the last few years, begging for assistance, begging for help, begging for an improved capability to provide quality care. And it's, you just met with silence or, you know, some kind of inane comment like, do better, do your best. You know, we're all in this together. Well, that kind of rings kind of hollow, doesn't it? So, you know, going forward, it's everybody. I don't blame this administration. The administration is just a reflection of what's going on broader provincially. But, you know, it's time for the Ford government. They make this sort of ongoing thing about, oh, we inherited a problem from the Liberals. It's now your second term. It's no longer the Liberal problem. This is now a problem for you to address. And because this is not just happening in Perth, but in many, many other rural hospitals across the province of Ontario, time for you to step up and get the problem solved.
Last question, sir. What would you say to the people of Perth right now from a physician's perspective, and certainly one who is renowned within our community? What do you tell the people of Perth who are, you know, justifiably worried?
Well, I understand their worry, and I understand that our administration is working hard to minimize the duration of the closure and the extent of that worry. You should know that the nurses in the Perth Emerge, the physicians in the Perth Emerge, you know, on a daily basis have your back. We care for you. We want to guarantee you the very best care available within the limitations of our resources. We'll get through this, and going forward, we'll strive to do better. We can't ever face a closure like this ever again.
Dr. Alan Drummond, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. You're very generous with your time when it comes to Lake 88, and we very much appreciate that.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Our guest today, Dr. Alan Drummond, physician with a private practice in Perth, and of course at the PSFDH Emergency Department and co-chair of the Canadian Association of Emergency Physicians.